It's your spot. Just like the players.
Yeah.
They'll get their spots.
He's tough.
No, I think we can just go to questions.
All right.
Why not?
Joe, Jim Flacco's name was bandied about all during the last offseason, regardless of the topic again today. How much talk has there possibly been during the season? Can you say now that you're close?
How about us?
Well, we did, prior to the start of the season, get very close to a deal. But we did not come to an agreement. And it was a decision by Joe Linter, Pat, Joe Flacco, and I that we would stop negotiating once the season started. And everybody was on board with that. And we would allow the season to play itself out. Joe had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Steve during the season, early in the season, about it a little bit. But basically, the way we left it with the four of us is, okay, we didn't get a deal done. Let's play through the season, and once the season's over, we'll start back negotiating.
Now, I will add, when I spoke with Joe, it was August, I think we might have been in the preseason already, because they had shut down negotiations, and all I wanted to do was make sure that he was comfortable with that and that it wouldn't be a distraction, and he assured me that it wouldn't, and so I said, you know, we'll leave it. And obviously, they had an impasse, so I said, well, we'll leave it to your agent, Nazi, and as long as you don't think it'll be a distraction, then I'm good to go.
Jerry? Ozzie, now they have the Super Bowl behind you. The calendar moves forward, and all of a sudden you have to focus on the offseason and next season. How important is it to create organizational priorities quickly moving forward?
Well, it's very important. You could say we are 5 weeks behind the league, but I will take being 5 weeks behind the league every year. But we've started already. We had a great personnel meeting on yesterday. The coaches were very candid. We must have talked between 70 and 75 players on yesterday. So that laid the foundation. Pat and I have been meeting all morning. We'll meet this afternoon. And we're preparing ourselves to go down to Florida this weekend, to where we will sit down, Dick, John, Pat, Eric, Steve, and I will sit down, and we will talk through all the scenarios, just as we did in the past 2 or 3 years. And then we fast forward. As soon as I get back, we're right in the draft meeting. So it's full speed ahead, but I think with the people that we have in place that are in charge of different areas, we'll be able to move through it very smoothly.
By the way, thank you for letting me have off for the parade on Tuesday. That was very kind of you. After yesterday, we went right back into those meetings, about 8 hours worth, and I drove home last night thinking, he is a tough boss, man. He didn't give me one day to enjoy this.
Well, first of all, we will discuss all of that this weekend, and we will come up with our priorities as to how we're going to go about building the roster for 2013. But we do realize that, you know, starting with Joe, because, you know, we do have at some point in the middle of February, we got to make a decision whether it's the franchise tag or not. So, but we will put our priorities together once we all get together, get down there in Jupiter, and have a little chance to, you know, vent a little bit between us. But we'll come up with a plan.
Jerry, Steve, for you, have you decided
about the size of the Super Bowl ring? A good question to ask. How are you going to divide them up in terms of how many people inside the building will receive them?
All the reporters.
And also, in regards to Ray Lewis leaving...
How many questions is this? Yeah, they wanted white gold instead of gold. They wanted white gold instead of gold. We talked in the locker room while we were preparing for the parade, and that was the only question I asked. I said, we're going to start working on the designs. Kevin said, get your ring size, send it in, go to any jeweler. And I just said to the guys, I said, do you want yellow gold or white gold? And I heard a lot of white gold, and that was my preference too. So we have no idea what the design will be.
Steve assured me that he is going to design a ring that I will never wear.
John, congratulations. Did the Art Modell Hall of Fame snub come up at all Saturday night or Sunday when you guys talked before the game to the players? Did that galvanize anybody? Did you guys bring it up at all?
No, I think in conversation here and there it did, but not as a team. It wasn't something that we were focused on the game. It was all about football. There was really nothing that came up besides football. OJ actually talked to our team Sunday at 11. We had a team meeting, and he spoke briefly and just had a quick message. And it was all about football, and it was all about football.
Again, John and Ozzie, you know, as John, you said, you're not going to get the same team back. You know that. Are you confident that the play of the young guys that have come in for the injured veterans will help you guys move forward?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, the fact that so many guys got so much experience and played well, they've gotten the taste of it. You know, they understand what it's like to play in big games. That's got to help us going forward.
Ozzie, the last time you won the Super Bowl, you tried to keep that team together, and, you know, it became a tough salary cap situation after that. Does that experience at all play into what you might be doing this time, even though the cap seems like it's going to go up quite a bit in 2014?
Yes, we will not repeat what we did in 2001. Because we're trying to build where we can win Super Bowls more than just one more time. But I think our team is structured differently this time also. We do have some veterans that will probably be retiring, but we got a great nucleus of young players and players that are just heading into their prime that we're going to build this team around. But we are not going to be restructuring contracts to do all of those different things to be able to just to maintain this team to make another run. We're not doing that. But all that being said is John and I have talked about it, and we talked to the coaches. That doesn't mean that we don't want to try to go and repeat.
And by the way, Stan, the cap is not expected to go up dramatically in 2014. Cap this year is going to be roughly $121 million. It should not be much more than $122
million in 2014. Albert, Ozzie, Dick, either of you guys can answer. Is there a big benefit to getting Joe done in the next 2 or 3 weeks? So maybe you don't have to tag him. You can keep his cap number manageable. And might that lead to saving a couple guys' jobs with the realities of cap?
Well, we're looking to get a fair deal with Joe. And yes, the franchise number does consume a lot of capital, but we are looking for a fair deal. Joe Lynch is looking for a fair deal, and if we are able to get a deal done, it will allow us to be able to participate more in the market if we so choose. But we understand what the priority is.
John, you're very hesitant to answer reflective type questions during the season. Now that this is over and you've reached the pinnacle of the sport, have you had a chance to reflect on everything, and what are your thoughts on what you've accomplished?
No, I haven't. It's like Steve said, the parade was amazing, and then we had, you know, Ozzie had us in there for 10 hours yesterday grinding. In all seriousness, it's really amazing. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, I'm proud of our guys beyond belief. Organization, you know, from top to bottom and sideways, and everybody involved, every face you see, you know, you want to give them a big hug and thank them. And that's really what it boils down to. And guys, go back to work. You know, we talk to our team about we've got to improve. You know, we have to get better next year as a football team, just like we always do. That's going to be our goal. And Ja Reed's in the weight room lifting right now as we speak. So that's what we'll be all about going forward.
Chris. John, just going into next season, you guys are defending world champions. You're going to have a target on your back already, but you're also going to be a major player coach in some essence. How much more difficult will your job be next year without Ray Lewis really being able to help coach on the field?
I don't think it's in terms of difficult. You know, every season is different. We don't really I don't really believe in the defending champ thing. You know, it's not boxing. You know, they don't give you a belt, then you fight for the title, you know. We were the champions. The 2012, you know, NFL champions were the Baltimore Ravens. Who is the next year's champion depends on who plays the best, who handles adversity the best, who comes out on top. We'll fight for that championship just like we fought for the last one, and everyone will fight for thereafter. So, you know, every season is different. Every season poses different challenges. This was different than the one before that. So, you know, with Ray being gone, that'll be different. But our guys are up to the task. You know, our guys are just the men for the job. Can't wait to get started.
Esther? Steve, when the franchise passed from RTU, you've been charged with all the changes and it's your organization. Can you break down the 3 to 5 top things, decisions you made that led to that, or decisions you didn't make that led to that?
Jeez, I mean, hiring him. I mean, I don't have a list of 3 or 5. I haven't done that much. you know, I mean, look around with Ozzy and Eric and Kevin Byrne. Kevin doesn't get nearly as much credit as a confidant to all of us. He should be the fifth guy up here, really. I rely on Ozzy and John to counsel me through the football stuff, and I rely on Dick and Kevin to counsel me through the business side. And, you know, other than that, as you guys know, this place hasn't changed much. There's not much that I can hang my hat on. I'm happy that I had that window of 4 years to see that we had such a quality organization and then be able to maintain it. And so really, Nestor, other than, you know, replacing the head coach, that's about the only major decision I've made in all these years. Unless you can come up with something that I did. Yeah, I'm willing to accept credit for anything else you can throw out there.
Decisions on drafting and signing free agents that you were brought into in some way?
Well, no, because like I said, I love being closer to the decision than all the fans and all the reporters, because I get to hear these guys out and see what they like. And Eric and I are on the phone all the time because he stops taking my calls. but personnel decision, it's like, gosh, Eric will tell me, look at this guy, watch this guy, watch this guy, and I do. And so then when they send me, leading up to the draft, when they send me players to look at, I look at, and I sit there and tell them why I think we could do better with this guy over that guy if they're even. But I remember going back to 2002 when I said that when the top two guys left on the board were Lito Shepard and Ed Reed, and we had Ed Reed above Lito, and I said to Ozzy, I don't understand this. If they're both have the same grade, why would you not take a corner over a safety? It just, that seems like that's a more important position. And Ozzy said, because I'm true to my board, and we took Ed Reed instead of Lito Shepard. So I kind of learned from that point on that I better not engage too much in my decision there to try and alter their decision making, or else we would have had Lito.
Steve, having achieved great success in business and now being at the pinnacle of the NFL, what is your personal philosophy about maintaining a drive and hunger to continue to succeed, to do it again?
I think, you know, Ozzy kind of spoke on it. We're not going to get caught up in the moment and do things to our salary cap and make decisions in the euphoria of winning that could hurt us in 2014 and 15, like we did in 2001. Every single veteran was restructured, I think, so that every single veteran could stay. And then we ended up losing so many people the next year. We don't want to do that. So you have to make sure that the excitement of the day doesn't cloud what we promised to build, and that was a consistent winner. So I'm just proud for Baltimore, and there is a great pressure off of us. this is what we work for, and you know as you get closer that it's like, if we don't get it this time, and we felt that way last year, if we got to get it this time, and we went up to New England, and we were devastated when we lost because we know how hard it is to get back there. You know, many, many teams. Pittsburgh won 2 Super Bowls and then didn't make the playoffs the next year. And so we're going to try and do that. We're going to try and build a consistent winner. And we've got this one in the bank. Like John said, you can never take it away from us. And I'm just proud for Baltimore, for everybody that gets to bask in this.
Ozzie, before the season, you guys hired Sandy Wheel to do a statistical analysis. What were the benefits of that? And then, you know, how, as a front office, do you kind of, you know, weigh what he's passing along against what you guys are seeing with your own eyes?
Well, that's still a work in progress. What he had to do was to come in and understand the football business part of it, and then to mesh that with the analytical aspects of what he could bring. But what we've been concentrating is he tried to help John and Matt Weiss through some things this offseason, but his main objective was to gather all of the information that we have over the last 7 or 8 years, compile it, and see what that information is going to present to us, and we'll be looking at some of that information as we move toward the draft.
Ozzie, how much of a priority will it be this offseason to address the left tackle position long-term? And did Bryant McKinney's play in the postseason make him a more viable option to keep moving forward?
Well, I think the thing that we found out this season is that we have probably about 8 or 9 offensive linemen with starter potential that were able to go in and play very good football for us. So I think you start that we got good depth. B-Mac is a free agent. I think the way he played down the stretch against Freeney, against Dumerville, and then against Alden Smith, I mean, I think it makes a statement for him. I think he has a decision to make there as to whether he wants to come back and play here. But I think we like our young guys. I think Juan Castillo is going to be a great addition to our staff. He's known for helping and developing young players. So I feel very good about our offensive line. And, you know, if you look at the point, you saying left tackle, but Von Miller plays on the left side, and he has to go up against the right. So right now it's not a right tackle, left tackle thing. You have the ability to be able to hold up whether you play on either side or not.
For any of you guys, can you talk about the first time that it entered your mind after Sunday night that you first thought repeat?
I haven't thought about it yet.
I haven't thought about it.
I mean, the word repeat means nothing. I think it's just you go back to work. You know, you sink the pilings deep. You do the same thing you do every year, and we're going to try to sink our pilings deep into bedrock again this year, starting really this week already, the day after the game, and we just go back to work, right?
John, earlier in the season we asked you about a solution to the helmet-to-helmet issues, the fine problems. I mean, you spoke out against it earlier in the year, and now that it's all over, wanted to get your thoughts on how all of that can be rectified. Is it as simple as telling guys to lower the target, or are these helmet-to-helmet shots unavoidable?
It's not that simple. If it was, it'd be corrected. You know, it's complicated. Helmet-to-helmet shots on defenseless receivers, there's different – there are varying levels of it. You know, there are shades there. 50 Shades of Grey, is that a book or something I heard about somewhere along the way?
You didn't read it yet?
Yeah, I haven't read it. I haven't had time to do much reading. But there's a lot of gray there, and I think that I know the competition committee is going to go to work on that, and we'll have something to try to just clean it up and clear it up a little bit as best we can. But safety's here to stay. It's really important, protecting guys and making the game as safe as we can. Is going to be very important.
I'm stunned you knew the name of that one.
Wait till he finds out what it's about.
For Ozzie and John, I promise it won't be a 50 Shades of Grey question. For both of you guys, and Ozzie, you just mentioned player development a little bit and depth. And John, the faith you have in your coaching staff to develop the players, Oz, the faith you have in your scouts. A couple of years ago, you cut the cord with Derek and Kelly Gregg and Todd. A lot of people around here said it was widespread panic almost because they thought you were rebuilding.
You've been able to maintain an unbelievable level of achievement since then with those two, player development, scouting. Can you talk about the faith you have in that system you put together now when you got to make some tough calls?
Well, I would say it in two different ways. I think the key to any team's success year in and year out is the depth that they have on their football team. And that's what John and I, we discuss on a daily basis of the depth. And the depth goes all the way to our practice squad. You know, having those guys and having those guys practice. But what combines it is our coaches having the ability to develop the players, spend the extra time with them, stand out on the field with them, you know, getting them extra reps. We did something this year in training camp, and I think it was a little taxing, but it was very good. Well, John split up the practices, and he had the young guys on one field and the veteran guys on the other field. And you know what? So therefore, we didn't have to stay out there for 3 hours, but we had guys getting reps. And those reps, I think, paid dividends for us because I don't know how many reps Shockey Brown took during that time, but if we'd have just had a conventional practice, he wouldn't have got as many. So I think I realized and John realized the importance of depth, but John and his coaches and our staff, my personnel staff, we realized that the development of players is an ultimate thing that we have to do. Coach?
Yeah, I concur. yeah, it's just the thing that we have here that's probably – I think it's pretty unique around the National Football League is, and this is something, you know, Steve doesn't take much credit for anything, but what he has laid is an organizational structure where everybody works together, you know, and there really aren't clear lines of demarcation between people. Scouts and coaches work together, you know, front office and coaches and scouts work together. Everybody's involved with one another, and it's not like we all are responsible for our areas, but we all seek help. You know, I can walk into Vince Newsom's office at any time and just ask him what he thinks and how we're, you know, bringing along a player or something along those lines. And that's just huge for us. And I think – I know that all the scouts feel the same way. Ozzie and I do it all the time, but it's not just us two. It's not just Steve and Dick or Kevin. It's everybody throughout the whole organization is just interwoven together. And to me, that's the key to any success that we have.
Kevin?
Steve, could you talk about the coaching job that John did this year, especially in terms of all the challenges that the team had to overcome?
Well, it goes back to all the coaches. I mean, you know, we did have a lot of injuries, but they were marquee players, and we got Ray and Suggs back, you know, quicker than we thought. If, you know, we didn't know we'd get him back at all. Masterful job, but I think that it's not a mosaic really. It's just every day he comes in and he talks with Ozzie and they make the right decisions, and it goes back to having those young players capable of stepping up. And what I commend John for is that he spends a lot of time one on one with these guys. So the 52nd guy on the roster is just as likely to be in a one-on-one meeting with John as Ray Lewis is. So, you know, from an organizational standpoint, John understands that those guys on the bottom 15, if you will, could be in at any given moment. And so he spends an inordinate amount of time with the guys the second half of the roster, so that he understands them. He has a real one-on-one relationship with them, and when it comes time to put them in, he knows what their strengths and weaknesses are. You can't run a business by talking in front of a group, and John spends the majority of his time in one-on-one meetings, and I think it's the right way to run a business.
Yeah. Ozzie, when do you plan? Have you talked to Ed Reed yet, and do you kind of plan to address this situation?
No, not officially. But unofficially, we've had conversations. You know, he's representing himself still. I don't know if he has an agent. But I think he wanted to let some time clear. And at that point, he and I will sit down. And, you know, I think he realizes there may be some other options out there, but I think if you watched him and watched his body language over the course of the last 8 to 10 days, that he loves being here in Baltimore, and I think we can use that to help make that relationship last a little bit longer.
Dan? First of all, congratulations to all four of you. And my question is for Steve and Dick, and that is the brand. What does winning Wendy's do to the brand? And conversely, how do you as businessmen on that side of this monetize this brand?
You know, we're monetizing. That's our job. We monetize every year. I don't think, you know, we've had shockingly little difference in, like, in tickets being renewed every year. It literally fluctuates, stand between 99.5% and 98.1% when we went, you know, 5-11 or we made the playoffs. So it's not that big of a deal. Will sponsors be more inclined to get on us? Yeah, but you know, it's not that big of a money-making operation. I think that it's really just about what you're delivering and the pride associated with the brand, and it does, and it should, and we should be able to monetize it. But when so much of our money comes from the national level, it doesn't make that much difference. We're not going to see a huge spike in revenue because we won a Super Bowl. All I know is that the softness of our of that potential is hardened now. I think that, you know, we'll see the less turnover. We'll see more teams, more companies signing up with us. I don't think it's going to make that much difference when it comes right down to it.
I think it helps the brand in the sense that it strengthens our brand. It deepens our legacy in this region and probably a little bit more around the country. That doesn't result in more dollars, but it makes us a more valuable franchise. People look at us in a different light. It's very difficult. We have won now 2 Super Bowls in 13 years. That is very difficult to do. New England's won 3 during that period. No one else has won more than 2. 2 other teams have won 2. So I think that really deepens our legacy. And I think you try to think about how many people in this region were watching that Super Bowl game and how many were children and how many will always remember that win and will forever be Ravens fans. And I think that's what I think is most important in terms of the win for us. It's building our fan base, having more and more fans think highly of the Ravens as an organization. And that's something that will stick with us and live beyond this year.
Well, Steve, this is for you. You saw people, the video probably, of people literally trying to break into the stadium during the event. Obviously, everybody around here wants a piece of this team now. I'd like to get your impression from the fans' point of view of how this first training camp here went in terms of the lottery and everything. And do you expect a similar structure, the 3 off-site practices, or have you looked ahead at that yet?
No, I haven't thought about it, but we're not going backwards, I can assure you. You know, we did those 3, and we want that interaction. So I'll push John to do a 4th one, whether we – I mean, it logistically it's hard, but we're not going backwards.
I think we should commit to 3, maybe.
That's all I committed to, 3. I said I'll work on him on the other.
His powers of persuasion are pretty renowned.
Peter? Someone's already been addressed this question about 50 times more, but I would want to ask Ozzie and Steve, during the 3-game losing streak and the 1-4 finish, how concerned were you, and was there ever a moment in there where you thought it was slipping away?
Well, I engage in conversation with John 2-3 times a day. I think that's the strength of our relationship. So during that time, he and I were in constant conversation. And John knows I'm out at practice. I watch every practice tape. You know, he tells me what the game plan is, and I have an understanding of that. So he and I was able to sit there and talk through it. But we knew, we never lost sight of what the goal was. The goal was to win the division. And even though we were struggling, we were still 1 game ahead, 2 games ahead. We needed to win 1 game to win the division. So we never lost focus on what our first goal was. We never lost focus on that. But we also was able to sit there throughout all of that time, you know, watching practice and watching the practice tape and interacting with each other and the players, and to realize that, you know what, this thing could turn around. It could turn around very huge, and it happened that way.
Yeah, it's a blur to me because you guys get to write about it all week, and we turn around and start worrying about the next opponent the next day. So, like, a three-game losing streak really didn't register to me because, like I said, we weren't losing ground. I think Pittsburgh was losing at the time, too. And so we were just kind of counting our blessings there at that point. But the whole idea of, like, being hot, and it was up to last week that everybody kept saying that, you know, we had lost four of our last five and all this. And, you know, they're picking and choosing what they want to do because we lost three and then we turned around in a must-win game and beat up the Giants pretty good at home. And that got us clinched and it got us the ability to rest our starters. And then we lost to Cincinnati and they came up with this, lost four of their five. They have no momentum going in. To me, that's ridiculous. And interestingly enough, they kept talking about it forever. And then yesterday I read a report that said every single team in the last 7 years has lost like three of their last six games. So they build up this big thing that we can't win because we're losing. And then once everybody said we're not hot going into the playoffs. We kind of thought we were. And so we looked at the whole season and felt that we were getting healthier and better. And so we're looking at it from the inside out, not the outside in. And we really believed that we were getting better and healthier. So there wasn't a lot of panic. When you get to rest your starters in the last week, that's a good thing. We're much more even keeled than the public is. That's all I can tell you. And we have to be.
Ozzie, I know you talked about kind of going through that first process of the personnel meetings. As you look at it in the early stages, what do you see as the biggest needs heading into this offseason?
Well, I mean, as we talked about it, the middle of the defense. We think we got to get better at defensive tackle. We know we got one linebacker retiring, another one that's a free agent. We got a safety that's a free agent, and some young guys that have yet to step up. So we would say the middle of the defense is probably the one area that we will concentrate on. But in saying that, we realized that pass rushers and guys that can cover, we felt pretty good about that. You know, we still need an elite pass rusher to match the guys that we have. But when we talked through it, we felt very good about it. We got guys out on the edges that can cover and can cover with the best of them. And we got some guys that can set the edge and that has some potential to rush the other passer. So offensively, we will not turn down a good player if that player is available for us on the offensive side of the ball. We just won't do it because you can never have enough depth. I mean, we got to a point in the last two or three weeks where Anthony and Bernard Pierce was hurt and we didn't know they were going to be able to play in the game. So, you know, so we continually look for quality depth so that when we run into issues like that, we don't have to panic or we don't have to go out and do something drastic.
Steve, if you have to go the franchise route with Joe, would you anticipate him being present in the offseason and up until training camp if that's the route that has to be done?
It's us.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You know, right now the offseason program doesn't start, I think, April 10th. So everything is pushed back now with the new CBA. But I do know that Joe has a very good relationship with Jim Caldwell. And it was amazingly nice to hear how Jim said yesterday in our meeting, anytime he would ask Joe to show up, he showed up. So that relationship is there. And I think Joe and Jim will be able to maintain that relationship while Pat, Joe Linton, I, and Steve negotiate a deal. And I think that's huge.
Ozzie, I want to ask you a question about the franchise tag. I assume you won't tell us which level you put on with Joe, the high one where you keep him or the lower one where you could lose him to two first-round picks. Could you tell us how that whole process works, whether or not if you put him with a lower one, the team would just give up their two consecutive first-rounders? And
when you've done it in the past, which route did you go with Velotti and Suggs and McAllister and guys like that, and whether or not teams historically have lost players at all if they went the route where they could lose in the two first-rounders?
Well, you kind of explained it yourself. I mean, if you put the low ten on his two first-round picks, and I don't know if any team did, but what you have to look at is what the Redskins did this past year to move up to get Robert Griffin. You know, if someone thinks that a quarterback is that valuable, and I'm sure you can talk to Bruce and Mike and Mr. Snyder, and they're very happy with RG3 right now, and they don't mind not having those draft picks. So I can't monitor. I don't know what 31 other teams are doing, so we got to prepare ourselves for it. And then we also know what the exclusive tag does. You know, it puts them out where it basically takes them off the market. Those are some of the things that we'll talk about. But I'm coming away today thinking that we can get a deal done. You know, we've got deals done with Helody, J.O., Ray Rice. I mean, you know, we've gotten big time to Suggs, you know. I got a very good owner who understands the business. He understands the importance of certain positions. So I'm optimistic. But you know what? Which tag we'll use, we don't know. We'll be prepared for either scenario.
Brent Harris?
This is for John. With Ray retiring, you know he's got plans to go watch his son, maybe do television. Are there any plans that he'd be around as a coach? Have you talked to him or even a tutor just to be around and help?
Well, you know, all the guys that played here come back often, you know, and they talk to players, and they're always welcome. Of course, Ray would be no less than that, you know. We have talked about it. He knows he's always welcome. He has not expressed an interest to coach. I have asked him, and he's not interested. But Ray, we've talked about Ray's iconic. He's going to be doing so many just amazing and powerful things, and he's excited about those things.
Aaron? John, how is Helody doing? Is he doing okay? We see he's not on crutches, moving around all right. Spent some time with the board there. And is Jameel McClain making progress? A little bit about his outcome.
Helody, yeah, nothing serious with Helody. There are some things in there we'll just have to see. But it won't be anything that should keep him out of training camp or anything like that. And Jameel, we're still looking at Jameel. I'm very optimistic based on what Ozzie shared with us yesterday. We're very optimistic about that.
Jeff?
John, or excuse me, Ozzie, you had mentioned a couple players who said retiring, plural. Other than Ray, are there other players that you have an idea that may not have voiced to you that they may not be coming back?
Not officially.
Morgan?
You've said Joe's the priority. You hope it gets done. If he does, who becomes next for the tag?
Well, you know, that's what we will take the time for the tag. Oh, I don't think if we don't, if we get a deal done with Joe, we will not franchise another player. We will not do that. You okay with that, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
That's one last thing you have to talk about this week.
Good. Ryan? Steve, can you just talk about what you saw from Joe Flacco this year and the progress that he made?
Yeah. You know, I think John's better off explaining that, but I saw a guy just maturing the way we would expect him to mature. I mean, we were sitting here last year and I said the same thing. You know, a husband, a father, a familiarity with what we're asking him to do, all those things work in his favor. And, you know, I said last year I didn't expect him to change. And he is who he is, and his demeanor we're very comfortable with. We don't need a screamer. And I said, I believe that the fans will be rewarded because of Joe's demeanor, and Joe will be appreciated for it if he wins, and we believe he's going to continue to win. So Joe proved that you can win being like Joe, and we're thrilled because we never thought we needed to change the way Joe was, like some of you all or some of our fans, and now he gets to say, "I told you so." So you can be like Joe and you can win. I told the national guys after the Super Bowl that night, I said he went to the Eli Manning School of Disrespect, and you know, they gave Eli the same business, and now he's got two Super Bowls, and Peyton's got one. So, we'll let Joe do it his way.
Drew?
Dick, have you had a chance with your staff to talk about Tuesday, the celebration, the good, maybe some of the things that didn't go as well, or maybe just in hindsight, if you create sort of a folder to say, hopefully we do this again next year. Here's the good and the things we can improve on.
Well, the good was just the energy of the crowd, the size of the crowds. I've never seen anything like that. I don't think any of us had seen anything like that. I don't think any NFL team had had a celebration quite like that with that type of crowd, as large as it was, both on the streets and in the stadium. So it was amazing, and it was I know our players were moved by it, deeply moved by it. I think, and with the benefit of hindsight, we did not anticipate the size of that crowd. I don't think the police anticipated the size of that crowd. I think the police did an extraordinarily good job of controlling the crowd and avoiding any major safety issues. So I think they are to be applauded for that. I think in the future, if we had to do it again, we would have a ticketed event at the stadium. It would be free tickets, but we would hand out tickets so people would know they could get into the stadium. If you didn't have a ticket, you couldn't go. And I think that was probably the major potential safety issue. And next time we do this, we'll know better.
So maybe for Ozzie and Steve, you guys are always mindful about not putting things on the credit card as far as cap goes. And you've already mentioned that you're not going to redo a bunch of deals just to repeat. But there is availability for cap space, specifically with some of your larger ticket players. How do you balance the not credit card versus not much cap space?
Well, I think over the course of the last 2 years, we've probably redid two deals. Yonda last year. And the only time we consider restructuring guys' deal is there is a player that comes available that we think has great value and is worth us restructuring the deal to get it done. But it has to be a player that we think has a pretty good chance of playing out his contract, because that's when you get in trouble. If you restructure a deal, then all of a sudden that player abilities fall off the cliff and you have to let him go, and then you have to eat all that acceleration right away. But we are of the mind right now, I think with the way John and his coaches develop players, the way Eric and Vince and George and those guys go out and collect players, that we got a good nucleus of young players that are still under their first contracts that is going to allow us not to have to be able to do that. But that's something that we'll talk about. And if there is a dynamic player out there, then there is a couple of guys that we could go to. But that's so far, I mean, that's probably a last resort for us.
And I will say that we're more apt to create space to get a few really good veterans for small amounts. That's how Ozzie ends up putting the icing on our cake every year, is that we end up getting those guys like Graham and people like that that don't cost a ton. So we know that in order to fill a roster with professionals while we're waiting on the young guys to develop, that last $7 million we have left is probably better spent on three veterans instead of one dynamic player. And so I'm more open to that when it comes to creating a cap room, because he's done such a good job with the last guys we put on the roster in the last couple years, like McKinney and Corey Graham and people like that. So that to me is not being risky, it's being prudent, and we're going to see high-priced guys getting cut. I think it started a couple days ago. You all know them, some of the guys out there, and their team wanted to keep them. They just couldn't. And, you know, Keith, you went and talked about 2 years ago when we let Heap and Mason and Kelly Gregg go. I don't. That stands out because maybe it stands out to you or some of the fans, but we were just as drastic last year. I mean, we let Haruki go, we let Zibigowski go, we let Corey Redding go, we let Jared Johnson go, we let a Pro Bowl Ben Grubbs go. We don't have the money for all of them, and the two safeties went and got starting jobs with Carolina and the Colts. So we have to have guys ready to go, and that's what we do. So we've proven it 2 years in a row that we can kind of shock the world and disappoint our fans at the same time by letting some of these guys go, but letting young guys fill in and then going out and getting good values on the free agent market.
Four more questions. questions. Mark?
Steve, a couple of years ago you sat up here and you said that you wanted to model yourself after the Steelers because they had had so much success. Is it fair to wipe that off the table now, and are you hoping that other franchises will model themselves after the Ravens?
Yeah, I think they do to a small degree. I mean, you know, when you look at the ones that are winning, something like 8 years in a row that the AFC in the Super Bowl was represented by New England, Pittsburgh,
and the Colts.
And the Colts, right? Yeah. Yes. So we admire all those organizations, and we're always looking to steal from each other. You know, this is a best practices type of business. You look at the way they handle things, but you know, continuity of staff. They all have that same thing. Look at those three teams that represented us for 8 years. They all have that. They all have continuity. They have GMs that have been around for a long time. You know, they've got stable ownership. They've got stable coaching. You know, they wanted Coughlin's head for 2 years before he won two Super Bowls. So, yeah, that's what we talked about, the brand. We now have 2 in 13 years, and we're one of the handful. And so that's our job, to keep winning, get us a chance to win. The 2 seed didn't do us as much good as the 4 seed did us this year. Get in the tournament. We say that, and other people take that as that's not good enough, but you have to be there. And so we don't want to repeat. We want to be one of the 12 teams that have a chance to win every year. And if you think that we can build this up to try and repeat, it's fool's gold, because we're not the favorite to win next year. We're not even the top 4 teams favorites to win that next year. So we want to make sure that 2015, we have as good a chance to win as 2013.
Ozzie, you talked about the challenges of being 5 weeks behind the rest of the league. You know, we've heard from other Super Bowl winning teams that there's so many difficulties on winning a Super Bowl back-to-back, demands on the players' time in the offseason more than there would be in a non-winning year. Can you talk about the lessons learned from that first Super Bowl victory and things that you might do differently in the offseason?
Well, I think we have a process in place, and we'll stay true to the process. The process is what has gotten us the success, and I think the process will be what will maintain it. So we'll stay true to that. I think, you know, with the, even though there are going to be more demands on our players, the CBA allows for more opportunities for them to do it before they have to be here in April. As far as our coaching staff, we're going to have continuity there. As of right now, I have not gotten a call or a letter from another organization asking to interview one of our coaches, so we will have some continuity there. And along the way, our scouts and our pro personnel departments, they've been working preparing for 2013. So it's just a matter of Steve, John, Dick, and I depending on the people that we have in place and allowing them to do their jobs, and then we can come in when we have to and take a look at what they've done, and then we move forward.
Jerry?
Steve, to follow up on the earlier question that you answered, the ring, about Ray Lewis leaving, how about a statue? Is that something that may go up around M&T Bank Stadium to honor him?
Yes. The fact that you said maybe, yeah, I'll say absolutely maybe. we have to work that out. You know, where? And how long it takes, but yes, I think that I think he set himself apart in Baltimore sports history, and we will certainly look into it. And I would not be surprised if there's one there in the next year or two.
And Jim, you have the last question.
Steve, now that you invited this, how hard do you expect Joe to pound on his desk and basically you're going to make him
quarterback? That was a figurative question, you know. I'll lock the door before I let him come in pounding on me. That's what we wanted. We wanted to see him do this, and he did. And like I said, this is history. And so I have faith that it didn't set us back in our negotiations, really. We offered him a top 5 contract last year, and we will be back at the negotiating table, and it was pretty close last year. And so we'll be right back at the table, and I don't see us winning the Super Bowl making the negotiation any more difficult than it would have been had we gone out in the first round of the playoffs. That might have been more difficult. So we both know that we want each other. It's up to Oz and Joe Linton to work that out. And then Joe and I will go golf or something like that instead of, but we don't, I don't negotiate with Joe.
All right. Yeah, we've had so many people ask for one-on-ones after that. It's just not going to happen because some of them are planning on playing golf. And Coach Harbaugh has to go up, and he'll be on David Letterman tonight.
Can I say one more thing, please? The one thing that we, that I want you all to know is that this is a staff of over 100 people, 120 people that are not coaches or players. And I want to take my hat off to them because what they do, the quality of the organization goes all the way through the organization, not just the top. And what they did, what they pulled off in the last 2 weeks is absolutely remarkable. You just can't imagine what our organization did in order to deliver us there, set us up correctly, and take the distractions out of our hands for us to be able to pull that off. So they deserve so much credit, and there's so many people that work as hard as we do to make that happen that it would be remiss not to at least tip our hats collectively to all the others that are on the other side of the camera. Thanks.
Thank you very much.